Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Final hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob of the Great One, Lonzo with you. Okay. All right. We got it. Joining us now on the radio program, he is a, I don't know, are you executive producer now? Have you earned that title, Hayden Ass Mario?
Yeah, it's on the resume. Actually, I don't know if it's on the resume. That's not been updated in quite a while. But yeah.
Hayden Ass Mario, a.k.a. Mario Heron, is an NBA and NFL betting expert for the BetQL Network. He is also the producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear every single weekday evening from 7 to 11 p.m. right here on this very radio station and other fine Odyssey stations around the world. Joins us now on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Have you recovered from having me on Monday? Did I ruin the show enough Monday, or did you make it back for the rest of the week?
We made it back, and it was a great show. We had a lot of fun. It was remarkable. Some would say a top five show ever done in radio. But who said that? Maybe just my parents. But hey, I like to think that they're always right.
Listen, if your mom, the only person I like in your family, said that, that's not true. Yep. I like everybody in your family. If your mom said that, I'm taking it to the bank as accurate.
You should. Listen, Lisa Heron is not wrong often.
That's
but when she
Miss
is,
Lisa to you, you disrespectful
yeah,
person.
It is. But when she's wrong, she is wrong. She's way off. But she is dead right a lot of the time. And shout out to her, a 5'2 scary Italian woman.
There you go. I just wonder, I don't know if Rob told you this or not, Mario, but since last we talked to you, we are now the three-time sports show.
Did I mention? I literally opened the show Monday.
Did you really?
Cleaning the trophy on national radio.
Good for you. Okay, because I don't know. He doesn't like to talk about himself very much. I don't know if you noticed that. Very humble guy.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
I wanted to make sure that you knew that in case, you know, if you get a chance to say something positive about Rob.
Almost Where's as humble trophy, as I am good looking.
I don't get trophies. I mean, I do the work, but I get nothing. This year, I didn't even get a piece of paper. So, I mean.
Wow.
Yeah, that's.
For the record, I told him keep it.
He did, but he didn't mean it.
I did tell him keep it.
He absolutely did not mean it.
If I
had took it, he'd have been, I'd have paid for it. So it's like, yeah, I'm not doing
it.
I
told him keep it, but I make offers to people one time. If you say no, you say no. I'm not going to beg you, all right?
No, he was surprised that it even showed up in the room because he couldn't make it to the award show, and I had it, and I could have kept it at home, but he went poor puppy dog on me, and it actually worked. It usually doesn't. It usually does not, but it worked this time.
I did no such thing.
Says a lot.
No such thing. All right, let's jump in. Quick thoughts on yesterday. 122-87 win over Brazil. We talked about the win for USA basketball that places them in the Olympic semifinals, Mario. My take was this. Number one, I'm shocked how much Steph Curry has been a liability, not an asset, in these Olympic Games. Number two, Steve Kerr said this is going to be about matchups more than anything. I like the balance that this team has found with the rotation off the bench into the starting five and vice versa. Your thoughts on Olympic basketball getting set for the semifinals?
I think it's time to give Kerr like a lot more credit than we've like honestly given him, because he's had these moments where, like you said, he makes them very matchup based. And when doing that, he's telling the top players, the best players in the world that get the ball on the respective teams on every single set, on every single play, and every single second they're in the game. And he's telling them, hey, this game you're not going to play. Or like in this game, you're going to play 5 minutes. And instead of these guys pouting or these guys not really showing up to play the next game, you see the opposite. You saw Embiid on the bench really being involved with his team and his teammates. And then he comes back out in this game and has a tremendous game. Is very valuable on the floor. You know, puts up 14 points, grabs 7 boards, even throws a block in there too. Like, he played extremely well, probably one of the best games we've seen him play. I think it's just a lot of testament to how good of a coach Kerr is and how good he is handling personalities. I mean, he's had to handle Draymond Green the past decade, and I think every other NBA coach would have thrown in the towel by now. I just want to give credit to him and credit when it's due on the excellent job he's done with that. On the Curry thing, I'll say this, and I'm going to defend him a little bit. He's the best shooter we've ever seen, but when we go to Olympics, I think there is adjustment period of shooting in terms of like the basketball is way different. The arenas are way different, and sometimes that can really affect you. Maybe that's affecting Curry a little bit. Also, teams are like really closing out hard on him, and they can close out harder on him in FIBA rules than in the NBA. And so that whistle doesn't really go your way as much as it would in the association.
More than fair. Hayton asked Mario. Mario Heron joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Up. Say, all right. Want to talk a little NFC South and AFC South. We have attacked it from 100 different angles today. One of the things we were talking about was over-under win totals on the year. Let's start with the team we cover here in the Carolinas, that of course being the Carolina Panthers. Their win total over-under 5.5. I have said I am taking the over. I just don't think that there is a way that this team takes any sort of step back. I got it when it was 4.5, now at 5.5. Dave Canales, to me, we have enough evidence between Geno Smith in Seattle and Baker Mayfield in Tampa that he knows how to make quarterbacks better. You added a couple of Pro Bowl caliber guards. You added Diontae Johnson to play wide receiver out of Pittsburgh, which gives you a true wide receiver one. Also allows you to move Adam Thielen back to the slot, which is his spot. I love the over 5.5. You said to me a while back you had a bold prediction about the Carolina Panthers. Over under 5.5, do we like it and why?
I do like it. So Dave Canales is victorious everywhere he goes, right? And when he leaves, you notice an easy, very easily drop off. Plus the Panthers this year, 10th easiest schedule. There's no Thursday night football game, so no like kind of short weeks where you kind of put in a bad spot where they can really get wiped out with the lack of talent that they have. They have a week 11 bye after the Germany game too, which is like really goes for them. If you just want to talk about like schedule quirks, Diontae Johnson was a good addition. Very good receiver at creating separation, catching the ball, you know, that could be better, but I'm also big on Xavier Legette too. I think he's another Deebo Samuel in the making, and the fact that the Panthers got him with one of the best offensive minds, in my opinion, in the NFL, I think it's going to be really huge. Plus, I don't think it can get any worse for Bryce Young. Right? Like last year, that was as worse as it could get. He had two different head coaches. You have more stability this time. And I mentioned at the top, and I'll mention it again, the difference in Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield that we saw with Dave was insane. I mean, it was a big, big jump. I think we'll see that jump again with Bryce Young. And, you know, when you look at that win total, I think they can split with every team in the division, right? So you could split with the Saints and or sweep Saints, because I'm not big on the Saints this year. You can split with the Bucks and you can split with the Falcons. So that's already 3 wins right there. So if you go to those 3 wins, and then you also look at the schedule going, all right, they face the Raiders. I think the Raiders are about to just absolutely poop the bed. I mean, they're complaining that Minshew and AOC both aren't stepping up to be the number one QB. I think that could be a win for them. Then you also have Denver. Now that's in Denver, tighter game. But Stidham is QB1 right now. So just keep that in mind. Not a very talented roster either. Giants, besides Malik Nabers highlights, the Giants are absolutely nothing. I think they can beat the Giants. And then who's to say the weird game where, you know, Rob, on Monday morning you're going, how the hell did that team win? How did that happen? Like the weird NFL game when like a really good team loses to a really bad team. Who's to say that's not them when they face the Cowboys at home? Who's to say that's not them when they face the Eagles in Philly and Philly maybe just falls apart at the end of the season like they did last year and they get them? Who's to say that maybe they, you know, the Falcons already secured the spot in the playoffs and they play not a lot of their guys in week 18? There's a lot of different ways I think the Panthers can get it. And I think they're able to do it. And maybe even they shock the Chargers week 2. Like, who the hell knows? But I think the win total will definitely go over. I think they can get at least to 6 wins.
Same boat as me. A lot of the same reasons as well. What about Tampa Bay? That's an interesting one. Team that won the division last year, but I also think a team that won the division last year more so because the division as a whole sucked than it was because anything stood out about them. They lose Dave Canales, who is now in Carolina. So there's questions about Baker Mayfield getting his contract but taking a step back. Really good wide receiver core. Question about their ability to run the football consistently. I am down on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year.
I am down as well. I'm not big on the Buccaneers and, you know, Canales leaving. Just to put in comparison of what happened in Geno Smith when he left, right? This is all the statistics where he dropped. Completion percentage, touchdown passes, dropped by 10 touchdowns. Yards, 600 less than the year before. Pass success rate dropped. Yards per pass attempt also dropped. I expect Baker to drop in all those categories as well. And I think Todd Bowles is a average head coach. And I think we're really going to see that this year. And I think that defense is going to show some fault in it. And like you said, they really benefited a lot from not the strongest division last year and teams falling apart. Like, they benefited from the Saints falling apart. They benefited from the Panthers being a train wreck. They benefited from all those things. They benefited from Falcons having absolutely a zero at QB and Arthur Smith not knowing how to use weapons. A lot of those things just clicked and they happened for me. Like, boom, bada bing. How the hell are they here? Well, they're here. Kind of like the Hawks when they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. How the hell did they make it here? A lot of things bounced their way. In the NFL, things tend not to bounce your way 2 years in a row, unless you're the GOAT, unless you're Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. So I agree with you. I don't think that's going to happen for the Bucs. I'm down on them, which stinks because I love Baker Mayfield, and I really wish that his success continues, but I don't think so.
I've got two teams I'm down on in the NFC South, two teams I'm up on. Another team I'm down on is my own. Dennis Allen ain't the dude. Yeah. I don't know why it is we decided to pretend one more year like he is. This is a team that is aged on the defensive side of the football. They're leaning on Cam Jordan and Honey Badger, who are both like my age at this point. I just think this team is going to be bad. I think at this point, I've just, as a fan, mentally accepted that the New Orleans Saints hard reboot is here. It's time. It's official. Under their win total, I don't even remember what it is. 7.5, 8.5. Who cares? I'm going under on the New Orleans win total as well.
I'm going under, and I'm going to predict by week 3, Alvin Kamara has a breakdown on the sideline with Derek Carr. That's my like official prediction for the season with this team. They face Panthers, obviously, week 1. Let's say they lose that game. Because we're both high on the Panthers, let's say they lose that game. Then they face Dallas. Dallas, you know, catches a lot of heat this offseason, but there's a lot of weapons, so they drop that game. Then they go to Eagles. There's like a real possibility they start 0-3, and then what, sirens aren't popping off in the New Orleans. And like, let's be honest, I feel like Carolina for that first game is going to be probably a little bit more fired up than New Orleans headed into that. Cause when you have a coach that has been on the hot seat and you kind of give him one more year, Rob, I don't know about you, but history tells us that team does not really tend to have a lot of energy when the coach is feeling the heat and everyone's kind of looking around like, why are we running this back? They tend not to be excited to play the game of football. I think that's what's going to happen with the Saints. On the positive side, last 5 games of last year, what, they went 4-1. Derek Carr looked decently, 14 passing touchdowns in that span, only 2 interceptions. I think he averaged around like just under 225 yards per game during that span. So, like, he looked good, but I don't think they build upon that at all. And like you said, I think a big teardown is coming because that team's old, they're expensive, and they're in purgatory. And purgatory is not fun.
No, I hate it. It's not enjoyable at all. And then finally, we wrap up the Atlanta Falcons. Kirk Cousins comes over. He is 75 years old in quarterback years coming off of an Achilles, which, you know, if you're 23 and coming off the Achilles, I trust a little bit more. The thing that I think has to be brought up is an Achilles injury is not an injury you can do anything about, right? You can't strengthen that. There's no gym machine that you can go jump on and buff the Achilles up. It's just a tendon. It either stays connected or it doesn't. They go with Michael Penix Jr. and sacrifice getting a first-round defensive draft pick in that spot. I don't care. I think this team is underappreciated. I think Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts have the opportunity to be one of the best wide receiver running back tight end trios in football. And it really just comes down to, can Kirk Cousins stay healthy long enough to allow Michael Penix Jr. to get comfortable if he's called upon? Or can Kirk finish it the way he was playing with Minnesota before the Achilles popped on him? I like Atlanta's over total this year.
I like their over as well. I think Kirk Cousins, I think he's going to be suitable. Because I think just the Kirk Cousins has proved overall in his career, if he has the best weapons, if he has good weapons around him, he will perform and he'll get the ball to him. And he has every weapon at his disposal. I mean, Drake London's a hell of a player. Kyle Pitts is a hell of a player. Bijan Robinson's a hell of a player. It's just everyone's forgot the key to unlock them. And just if Raheem Morris finds the key to just unlock one of those, they can go over the win total. And their schedule, I mean, my Lord, they have the easiest schedule in the NFL according to Sharp Analytics. And if you look at, like, the chart for it, it is like they got some room between them and the Chargers. I mean, some absolute room. So I think they can do that. And plus, I mean, Raheem Morris is coming from the Los Angeles Rams. And look what the Rams just did with Kyren Williams, too. Like, last year, they really unlocked him, and he really came alive. And what if he does that with Bijan Robinson, who's, by the way, 10 times better than Kyren Williams? I think they can go over the win total. They're going to benefit from an easy division. They're going to benefit from an easy schedule. And also, just quick PSA while we're here, and I just mentioned Kyren Williams. If you're thinking about betting him for offensive player of the year, I want you to stop yourself, look yourself in the mirror, and tell yourself that you're better than that. Because that's not going to happen, because he's going to split carries with Blake Corum, and it's not going to, you know, go the way you think it is. But back to the Falcons, yes, I like their win total. I think Kirk Cousins can be suitable. I think one of those guys is going to be unlocked, and if you unlock one of them, or maybe even two of the three, you're going to go over your win total and you'll be set on the year. I don't think we see Michael Penix at all this year.
We are talking with Mario Heron, a.k.a. Hatin' Ass Mario, from the BetQL Network here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Ups. All right, we got to run through these real quick, but I wanted to get the AFC South in here as well. Houston Texans obviously win that division last year. I do think C.J. Stroud, phenomenal pick. I think they stumbled into some excellent wide receiver talent that nobody knew was going to break out the way it did before the season started, and that was an immense contribution. And I love D'Amico Ryans. Like, he's a coach I feel like I would run through a wall for. Do they replicate that success? I do think a lot of what happened last year had to do with the Jacksonville Jaguars having a collapse down the stretch, that the only reason we need to talk about it more was because the Eagles was more hilarious. Are the Texans back in the AFC South driver's seat this year?
Yeah, I think they're in the driver's seat. If you just look at the Diggs effect with Josh Allen that we saw, Josh Allen's passing touchdowns increased from 20 to 37 when he got Diggs. Pass yards increased by over 1,500. His QBR rating went from 59.4 to 76.6. 193 yards per game, 284. I think Stroud's going to make a similar jump with Diggs in there, because not only does Diggs provide just a crazy threat, but like you said, it unlocks Nico Collins and Tank Dell to get even more open. And I think Diggs is not going to be a head case like he so-called was in Buffalo. I think he's going to handle it like a little bit better. I think this team, I don't really expect a sophomore slump either with C.J. Stroud. Like, just with that addition, I just fail to see it. And the star that people like just keep forgetting to mention, I think Will Anderson's going to take a huge jump this year. Like, we always see pass rushers improve year after year. We rarely see them slow down. Like, if you want to take a stab with him, like, defensive player of the year, like, I wouldn't blame you. that's all like a huge jump. And like to the Jaguars, I'm old enough to remember when we thought the Jaguars would be the number one seed in the AFC, when we thought they'd have the best record. Yeah, see you freaking later, pal. Like, that's not going to happen. The Colts are going to be healthier this year. AR, if he plays even half the season, that could take away some wins from the Jaguars. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is it. Maybe Doug Peterson figures something out. I'm going to bet against that. The Jaguars are going to end up the third best team in this division. I think Texans take it, and then Colts fall suit right behind him because Shane Steichen, I just think, is that good of a coach. He can will that team. And maybe that receiving core is a lot better than we think it is in Indianapolis.
Giving up on Trevor Lawrence.
Dude, I don't see, like, I think we fell in love with the comeback game, and we forgot how bad he was in that first half. And then the next year he goes, remember, guys, I am not that great. You know, like, that's what I feel like we did here. And the receiving core last year was supposed to be something really special. We didn't really see anything out of it. Yeah, improved this year. The Gabriel Davis, I actually liked that signing. Brian Thomas Jr. is really great player of LSU. But I truly don't see it with Trevor Lawrence, man. Like, I think we're going to see even more regression come from them.
Mario Heron, a.k.a. Hatin' Ass Mario from the BetQL Network. You can hear his show, the executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, every single weekday evening from 7 until 11 p.m. right here on this and other fine Odyssey stations. The former producer of the greatest baseball show ever, Bet for the Cycle, which airs every Saturday from noon to 4 with myself and Cody Decker, and not Hatin' Ass Mario anymore, joins us every Wednesday at 9 o'clock to talk about whatever we want to talk about. Appreciate you, big fella. Yeah.
And congrats on another award, my friend.
Thanks. Lonzo did it. I'm just here for the ride.
I mean, can we get Lonzo a trophy too then?
I told him to keep this one. All right? I told him to.
It's not.
I said keep this one.
Get a hat, Lonzo.
No, we're going to get championship belts.
We're getting tag team championships belts.
We keep saying we're going to get it. He wanted to get singles, but I wanted tag team because that's what I think we are.
I wanted us each to have a single.
You know how that feels. You guys are a good tag team, yeah.
See you next week, bud.
See you guys.
Hatin' Ass Mario from the BetQL Network joining us here every Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. We're back after this. Stick around. Don't go anywhere.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob and the Great One Lonzo with you. We've gone through the NFC best bets that Fox Sports put out. Let's take a look at some of the NFC South. And for those of you that have texted, Rob, why are you doing best bets? The answer is because, to me, that's how you really put out there what you think a season looks like, right? I mean, it's just a different way of making your preseason prognostication. So let's continue over in the AFC. And the first one, and one that they love. And we talk about fading trends, right? That is to say, Vegas loves to try to get a bunch of people going one direction. Here's one. New York Jets over 9.5 wins. All right. They drafted help across the offensive line, an offensive line that had problems last year. They added a handful of free agents, all of which was set up to protect Aaron Rodgers. They got Mike Williams at wide receiver. We know they've got some very good talent across the back end of the defense. Really, the only question is, what's that front seven look like? What's that front seven do for the New York Jets? Lonzo, you're big on Aaron Rodgers and the Jets this year. I'll let you get it started. Jets 9.5 wins, over under.
Over. I'm looking at who they're playing right now. Of course, they got to play the Patriots twice.
Yep.
A year.
That's two.
They play the Broncos.
That's one.
I'm still looking to see who all they play.
They're at Tennessee to open. They're at San Francisco to open, but then they're at Tennessee in week two. So I say 1-1 out of the gate. Then they got New England, Denver. They should be 3-1 to open. Question is, are there seven more in the back half?
Well,
they don't have a bye week until week 12.
They also played the Cardinals. They also play the Seahawks. And if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, they should win those games. Rams is a toss-up. Dolphins, they probably should lose. Jaguars, I think they can beat the Jaguars. Bills, we don't know. I know we don't know.
Because
of their receiving core, what are they going to do? I think this is going to be really a proving year for Josh Allen. So I think the Jets have a shot going over.
I actually agree with you. I actually agree with you entirely. Do I think that the Jets are as good as they're made out to be? Not really. And this is one of those spots where I'm having a hard time actually pulling the trigger on it because, again, it feels like a fade. It feels like a vast majority of the money is coming in on the over here. But I do think the schedule sets up nice. They do have a handful of primetime games. In fact, two of the first 3 weeks of the season, the Jets are in – excuse me. Two of the first 3 weeks of the season, the Jets are in prime time. They open week one in prime time on Monday Night Football on the road at San Francisco. Week three, they are on Thursday night Amazon Prime football at 8:15 against the Patriots. They've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more so far scheduled, 5 more primetime games throughout the season after that. I do wonder if this number is a little influenced by the public, though, right? Like, I do wonder if we're keeping it a buck, if this isn't a bit of a number that is because of the amount of attention. Is it 9.5 instead of 8.5 because the expectations are set so far with Aaron Rodgers? But I will, as much as I want to say I'd fade here, I will go over the 9.5 with you. There's too much talent there. The biggest question for me, Robert Saleh, a dude that, and I mean this, to me, he and Sean Payton have had probably the biggest swing in terms of the public opinion of a head coach. Robert Saleh, when he got brought to New York, I think was looked at as like the next guy, the next HC that was going to be a dude. And I'm not saying this is the case. And it may not even be his fault. It may be more of an Aaron Rodgers thing. But does this not kind of feel like almost a hot seat year for Robert Saleh? Like if the Jets win 7 games this year, 8 games this year, it feels to me like he will take all of the heat regardless of what happens on the field. And maybe that's fair, maybe it's not, but it does feel like a year where he's taking criticism.
Oh, for sure, especially in that market, because it will be, you had Aaron Rodgers and you still couldn't win.
Pittsburgh, over under 8.5 wins this year. I'm going to take the over for two reasons. Number one, I think a lot of people, and this is a hill I don't know why I've been so willing to die on, but I have. I think, number one, everybody's putting what happened in Denver on Russell Wilson. I think it was on Sean Payton and the organization. Number two, I will bet against Mike Tomlin having a winning year when Mike Tomlin doesn't have a winning year. That has not happened yet. I think those two things combined, I'm going the over for the Steelers. I think they get to 9.
All right, I wish I could go conditional here. I would say it is hard to go against Tomlin because he's never had a losing season. So I want to say over, but then I'm worried because if Russell Wilson starts, he will have his first losing season. But I don't think he's going to, so I'm going to go over. I still don't believe Russell Wilson will be your quarterback for the Steelers. Not even midway through. And if camp is going the way a lot of people are saying, Justin Fields looks better. So we'll see. Justin Fields probably, if he does have a fair shot, will win this job.
I mean, it's Mike Tomlin. He's going to have a fair shot. I just think that the stink of the Broncos as an organization clouded over Russ Wilson. Again, go back to his number two before he left Seattle. They were good. They were good. You telling me he just suddenly hit a wall? No. That organization as a whole is inept, and Sean Payton is 3 seasons past his prime.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I hate Denver. But, I mean, I'm all for – but I think I believe that Russell Wilson has been overhyped, and I think he's proven that. You got him away from Seattle, and what has he done?
One more AFC best bet before we get to the final segment of the show. They like the Baltimore Ravens under 10.5 wins. The write-up. Are we sure Derrick Henry is a massive upgrade for that backfield? How much do we think he has left in the tank? So much pressure, I think, after the disappointment and losing to the Chiefs on your home field. Is the non-divisional schedule, you get the Chiefs, Bills, Cowboys, and Eagles. I'm absolutely going over Baltimore 10.5 wins. I think this team wins 12-13 this year. The answer is yes. He is a massive upgrade. I love what they did with the Gus Bus last year. It wasn't until the playoffs that this team collapsed. And even then, I got to think the lesson got learned. If you have King Henry in the backfield, you feed the beast. Baltimore is absolutely going over 10.5. This is one of my easiest over-under bets in the league.
All right. They have a brutal schedule that they have to deal with. He is supposedly the number one quarterback as voted on by people and all that kind of stuff. I don't think they get over 10. I think they get 10. I don't think they get over 10.
I mean, again, like, so let's
see. So you said it was 10.5.
Got to get to 11.
So that would be under. So I'm going under.
Let's say they lose to Kansas City in primetime on Thursday, September 5th to open the season.
Let's go ahead and say that.
Let's say they lose on the road to Kansas City in week 1.
Because Kansas City might have some motivation in that game. I'm just dumb. They might.
Can they beat Las Vegas? Yes.
Yes.
Can they beat Dallas? Yes.
Probably.
Yes. Can they beat Buffalo? Yeah. And you know I'm a Bills guy. Yeah, they can. Mm-hmm. Can they beat Cincinnati? Yeah. They can beat Cincinnati.
I don't know.
Not saying will, saying can.
I don't know.
Can they beat the Commanders? Yes. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Yes. The Cleveland Browns? Yes. The Denver Broncos by 1,000? The Cincinnati Bengals? Yes. The Pittsburgh Steelers? Yes. Like, who are losses here?
I think you're giving the division games, you're acting like they're gimmies and they're not. I mean, how did they do in their division last year?
For the record, I didn't say will, I said can, but I'm asking you, if I asked you for the 7 losses up and down the schedule, I will give you the Chiefs. Hell, I'll let you have Dallas because it's at Dallas. Where are 5 more losses on this schedule? I don't see them.
They're at least splitting with the Bengals. And I think Cleveland can get them too.
I don't think Cleveland can get them.
Yeah,
I think Cleveland's taking a big step back this year.
We'll see. Maybe so, but that doesn't mean they can't. There's still hatred between those two teams and always will be. Yeah, I think they can win 10. I'm going under. I'm not saying they're going to be bad.
Let's see. Joey B said, Derrick Henry doesn't need to be Tennessee Derrick Henry. Defenses can't stack the box like they could when he was with the Titans because Lamar will carve them up with legs and arm. Henry will feast. Bingo. That's exactly it. It's not that Derrick Henry has to be a dump truck through the line like he did at Tennessee. It's that if he does even show it, Lamar eats. We'll do a few more of these when we come back and wrap it up on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. I wasn't going to get into this because I didn't want to end the show in a bad mood, but I have to. I am now relatively sure that the Braves have to move on from Brian Snicker. It just has to be done. Okay? And the reason why is the decision making is bleep poor right now, if I'm keeping it a buck. It's just awful, awful decision-making right now. Last night, the Braves were playing the Milwaukee Brewers. Last night, at the end of the game, a game in which Bryce Elder continues to be trotted out for reasons that I cannot explain. I mean, a lot of you are going to hit me with, well, it's the injuries, Rob. Ronaldo Lopez is now on the IL, 15-day DL, retroactive to last Friday due to what is being called forearm inflammation. But I'll never understand. Like, go bring up one of your prospects and just turn them loose and see what happens, right? Like, the expectations aren't there. Bryce Elder, 3.2 innings pitch, 8 hits, 7 earned runs. It's just not good. The Braves, as they entered the, eighth inning? The Braves were down 10-0 to the Brewers. The Braves, at that point, had managed like 4 hits, 5 hits. I don't know. I tuned out about inning number 7, okay? Because we sucked. And I'm not going to sit there and skip watching replays of the Olympics to watch the Braves suck. I'm just not going to do it. And Joe Jimenez gets plugged into the game. Now, I understand you're having to work a de facto bullpen game at this point because Bryce Elder got his ass kicked again, got brought in again for reasons I can't understand. But explain to me why in a game you're down 10 and your offense can't hit the ball, explain to me why the one thing that has kept you alive this year, which is back-end pitching, explain to me why you're burning up one of the few throwers that you have that has been productive this year in a game you're down 10 and can't score. Forget the fact that the Braves have now gone 24 consecutive innings without scoring a run. Forget the fact that Matt Olson, who, for the record, did have 2 hits and a 2-for-4 night last night, explain to me how in a game in which Matt Olson is swinging at a pitch that hit him. Listen to those words again. Matt Olson took a swing at a pitch that hit him. That's your guy.
Did it like careem off the bat?
It was coming at his body.
Okay.
And he swung at it.
That's not good.
No, because, you know, he's not a little leaguer.
Did he lose his footing?
Nope.
I
mean, yes, because he was swinging at a pitch that was hitting him.
I meant, did he stumble into the ball?
Nope.
Oh, okay, all right.
Nope, he just swung at a pitch that hit him. All right? It's real bad. 24 consecutive innings the Braves have not scored now. Now, that's not the worst. The Chicago White Sox just lost 21 consecutive games. They did end the losing streak last night, but 21 consecutive games. I don't know what to say. Brian Snicker's lost. I saw somebody write on Twitter last night. You guys wonder why Snit spent 40 years as a major league, or excuse me, as a minor league manager? This is why. This is why. Somebody explain to me why. Down 10, game's over. You decide that you're going to plug in one of the few arms you've had that has been successful this year. Well, I want to say that. Pitching's the only reason the Braves are where they are, which is not what you want out of a team with the offensive firepower that they have. But explain to me why it is that Joe Jimenez gets plugged into that game and not saved in case you somehow find a way to make tonight's contest competitive. Because I got nothing, dude. I've got nothing right now. I'm very sorry. Eddie Rosario, 0-for-3 last night, shouldn't be playing. All right? It was a nice feel-good story when Eddie Rosario got picked up after getting DFA'd by the Nationals. The Nationals. The Washington Nationals. He got DFA'd, picked up, plugged in Atlanta. And remember, Eddie Rosario was part of the team that won the World Series 3 years ago. But Rosario gets picked up, plugged into the lineup. He did go yard in his first game back, but he has been inept since that spot. Yet he's still playing. I don't know why. The Braves outfield right now, which last night consisted of Soler, Rosario, and Kelenic. The outfield is ranked 30th in baseball in offensive production and is 30th by a mile. It's not like 30th in like one more good game and they'll jump up to 27th, 28th, 24th, whatever. No, no, no. Five good games and maybe they can like get close to 29th. Yet, nothing is changing right now. I got a lineup full of dudes that have top flight power that are doing nothing. And the Braves are trotting out the same lineup and doing the same things night after night after night. And Brian Snicker is not only doing nothing, but again, if you watched any of that game last night, they showed Snit two or three times on the bench. And two or three times on the bench, Snicker, I swear to you, suffers from like mild narcolepsy. Because they show the dude on the bench and he's just like, looking around, just staring around. And I do not get it. For a while there, I was one of those losers that was going, oh, it's because it's because Major League Baseball deadened the ball, right? They nerfed the ball a little bit. They took a little juice, a little spring out of the ball. No, we just can't hit it. It doesn't matter if the baseball was made out of rubber. If you don't hit the ball, it ain't going anywhere. And Brian Snicker is just lost at this point. Like, I know that I am being a fan right now. I know I am being emotional right now. But man, this team should not suck this bad. Oh, Rob, they're 8 games over .500. Yeah, that's fine. That's great. Rob, they're 6.5 back. Yeah, that's because the Phillies have, for no reason at all, completely regressed to the mean. But with this much in the lineup, the fact that the Braves have stalled out entirely and are doing nothing to fix it is beyond frustrating. I do not understand why or how at this point. And then you make mistakes like taking one of the best relievers and closers in baseball and you're throwing him out there on the bump to burn up a few pitches when you're down 10-0. Literally do anything else. Put Austin Riley on the bump last night. It's a joke. And Snit, I'm at the point Snit's got to go.
Let me fight through this cough and fit. All right, time to ask Rob what is Xing today, and he will wow us with his knowledge of said Xing. The first thing that is Xing is The Undertaker.
The Undertaker, I don't know if this is why, but there's apparently a group of dudes up in New York City that every now and then they perform what they call Subway Mania, where a bunch of dudes all dress up as professional wrestlers and they get onto a subway train and they have wrestling matches on said subway train. And one of the dudes that showed up is dressed like The Undertaker, and he looks pretty freaking cool.
All right, that's not why, but that sounds awesome. It really does. He was on Logan Paul's podcast, and he's making it sound like he wants to come back.
No, thank you.
Yeah, he does not need to do that.
No, thank you.
I think last year's WrestleMania, or this year's WrestleMania, him being it was a shocker.
Yep.
And it was really good.
And I think it's cool for him to come back for like a moment now and then, because he is still The Undertaker. But no, I do not need you to get back into the ring, bro.
Plus, he's lost a lot of his mystique because of all the talking.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, I think a large part of what made The Undertaker The Undertaker was The Undertaker was one of the last bros that lived kayfabe. You just did not, you never saw him or heard him outside of a ring. He lived that kayfabe life, and now he doesn't. He's doing like stand-up comedy shows and showing up on everybody's podcast. And that's all well and good because he's not a wrestler anymore, so I'm fine to hear Mark Calloway go talk. I'm all in for that.
I do feel bad for anyone who's never been in an arena and heard. I mean, there's just something about, because that gong, I don't know if it's the level,
it's
the bass,
bell.
Or what. No, what I'm talking about is how it goes through you when you're,
oh, for sure,
when you're in the arena when it does it.
For sure. last week when we saw Blink-182, because they're 100, so am I, shut up. They came out to the stage to The Undertaker's music. It was incredible.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Blake Corum.
Blake Corum. I don't know if this is why he's trending, but Blake Corum is now one of the most bet on players to win NFL Rookie of the Year and Offensive Player of the Year, because the dude is a machine.
Well, it's coming out in a lot of different places that he basically was ineligible last year.
Do what now?
For Michigan. I'm surprised you haven't seen it. I've seen it on a bunch of different things.
Really?
Yes, and he basically admits it himself.
Why?
I don't know why the context.
Let's see. Going around on Twitter, I am going to cheat and look this up. Apparently, according to some people, he had an LLC with an assistant that would have made him ineligible. Now, there are Michigan reporters right now saying that LLC was opened in his name but without his knowledge. Now I know what I'm doing after the show's over.
It sounds a lot like
could you imagine
Jim Harbaugh saying he had no knowledge.
You imagine if the cheating scandal does nothing, but Michigan had to vacate their title because their running back had an LLC?
Yeah, I can imagine that. And finally, the last thing that's Xing is Joe Hendry.
Obviously, Joe Hendry is trending because we all believe in Joe Hendry.
Well, you need to watch NXT from last night.
Oh, I will. I will. I'm finishing up Raw after the show today because I did not get a chance, although I cannot wait for the Penn State wrestling team versus Slipknot.
Yes, but you need to watch NXT just to hear the crowd. It's growing in NXT.
Dude, it's growing everywhere.
Yeah.
My fiance, who watches wrestling like once a month because it's on, she last night was like, this guy's fun. I'm like, yeah, it's Joe Hendry. You better believe he's fun for sure. Hey, that's it for us. Going home. Probably going to sleep for like 20 of the next 24 hours. And then we'll see you back here tomorrow to do it all over again. But better. I'm Rob. He's Lonzo. Thanks for listening to the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.